Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Well, it's that time again, people. I say it every week, and I'll say it again. 8 p.m. Thursday Eastern Standard Time. You know what time it is. It's FSP Crew time. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master. And as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Jeff the Joker. And we always talk about, let me put it this way. We always have a conversation about fantasy sports and politics. And the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the Fantasy Sports Casino Hotline, where winners win and players play. This show is also sponsored by the Fantasy Sports Book and Casinos.com. And like I said, where winners win and players play, or vice versa, whatever you want to say. We got a great show in store for you tonight. There's a lot of things going on in the NFL, and we're going to probably take up the whole hour talking about different parts of what's going on in the NFL. But before I walk that way, let me take a stage left and bring in my esteemed co-host, my other fellow Jersey guy, Jeff the Joker. What's up, my man?
Hey, Jerry, thanks for the intro. Let's do the show.
Yes, sir. Well, as you know, like, if you've been paying attention to football, people, they already had the NFL Combine, which was near the end of last month. And believe it or not, it's the first Thursday in March. It's unbelievable. We're into the third month already, and the NFL free agency starts in 5 days. March 11th is where the feeding frenzy for a plethora of free agents and some quality free agents out there that have elected to test the waters and see how they fare in the free agency market. I also want to talk about, Jeff, and we do have our and I'm glad he's here because I want to get his comment on a former America team's football coach, a head coach, that's I don't know if he's calling out or the present head coach, but I'm going to bring something up about that. I'm also going to talk about, here we go again, another quarterback before he even gets into the NFL. He signs a big contract with Nike. I want to talk about a big name quarterback making a push to get a dynamic vet quarterback on the team. And I also want to talk about the same team. The head coach once didn't mention the quarterback that the running back wants. He mentioned a quarterback that's already on the team and is going to test the free agency. So we got a lot of things to talk about. Before I walk that way, let me look to the right. I already looked to the left and got Jeff. Let me look to the right and bring in my other man, my brother from another mother, from the D.C. area. Welcome, Black. How you doing, my man?
What's going on, fam? What's going on?
Hey, Black.
What's going on, bro?
All right. We were supposed to have two guests, okay? At the last minute, they couldn't make it. Supposedly, from what my understanding is, that they're going to reschedule for this Saturday at on the FSP show. Am I right about that, Black?
Yeah, they're trying to come on Saturday. Corey wasn't able to get off of work, so he couldn't make it tonight. We might hear from Darrell later on tonight. Not too sure, but they definitely going to come on Saturday. They're both not working on Saturday.
Okay, no problem. Well, I want to go this way first because this is going to be a lot of things going on in the NFL, quite naturally free agency. But before I get into the free agency or other things in NFL, I saw this and I was surprised that this came, that this former head coach decided to do this on Twitter. I don't know if Black knows this or not, but your former head coach, Wade Phillips, tweeted late today, that he had a better record with the same amount of games than Jason Garrett. Talking about Wade Phillips, out of 56 games with the Dallas Cowboys, Jason Garrett has 56 games as head coach. Wade Phillips had 56 games with head coach. Wade Phillips' record was 34-22. Jason Garrett is two games over 500 at 29-27. As you guys know, that in 2010, they started the season, the Cowboys, at 1-7 under Phillips, and Phillips got fired, and Garrett took over and went the rest of the way at 5-3. But since then, the last three seasons have been 8-8. Phillips, on the other hand, 13-3, 9-7, and 11-5 in three full seasons as a Cowboys head coach. So I don't know why he's doing this now to make a case that he was a better coach in Dallas than Jason Garrett. But who knows? I mean, Wade Phillips, along with his father, always danced to a different drum. So, Black, I'm going to go to you to get your thoughts, since you're the Cowboy fan here. What the hell's going on with Wade Phillips, and how do you feel about Wade Phillips coming out and saying this? And, I mean, he's speaking the truth. You can't dispute the record. Talk to me, Black.
Well, this is the first time I'm hearing this. I thank you for bringing it to my attention, but I don't know what's going on with the timing of this. I mean, we're trying to purge salary right now. We're in a salary cap situation. Mm-hmm. We can't be worried or concerned about Wade Phillips. He was nice while he was here. It's unfortunate he finished out his last year like he did, but we can't keep Wade Phillips on the mound right now. We're trying to get under this cap. I understand he's taking shots at Garrett. I don't know if he's positioning himself to try to get out of wherever he is. Where's he at now? Houston, the defensive coordinator there?
No, he's not with Houston anymore. They pushed him out. He's not with Houston
out,
anymore. I don't think he has a job yet right now.
Oh, well, I think he's just trying to position himself for a job. And he's comparing the guys that already are still coaching right now. So, I mean, good luck to him. But, I mean, we got to brush those comments off.
Jeff.
You know, you really can't mention Wade Phillips in the same breath as his father. I mean, his father was a very good coach, had a lot of personality, a lot of charisma. And Wade is not Tom Phillips, and he's showing it with a total lack of class with this quote. And you know what? He had plenty of chances to be a head coach in the NFL with Buffalo, with Denver, et cetera, with Dallas. I mean, three chances as head coach. I don't know. And he really didn't distinguish himself. So what is he now, a bitter old man? I mean, sounds mean, but maybe that's what he looks like. You know, I really don't care much what Wade Phillips has to say. I really don't.
Okay. And we also have another esteemed caller here on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline. Welcome, Mr. FSP, Vic Gardner. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And you know what? Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com, where winners win and players play, you need to go there today. As a matter of fact, I need Mr. Taylor, I need Mr. Wright to deposit like $20 or something so that I can go ahead and start pulling some winnings or earnings and reinvesting. So I need some of the people that have already signed up. Make a wager. Load some money. Do something. Otherwise, nothing happens.
I'll be in for March Madness. I'm waiting for Selection Sunday, then I'll be in. I don't do NBA too much at all.
I got you, my brother. Let's get some more people on board. But anyway, back to the topic at hand. I want to say what's up to Jeff. We rarely get to talk to him anymore. He doesn't come on Saturday, but I'm not saying nothing. But,
you know, maybe I'll surprise you one of these days. So, it's been a while. It's been a while.
It's all right, Jess. It's okay.
It's all right.
I don't want to sound like Wade Phillips being all bitter, but here's the thing.
That's right, because we're both men, and that's what
that's
I like
right.
about you. We're both men. That's how we handle our business.
There we go. That's right. But Wade made a very similar move almost a month ago when he left the Texans. He went to Twitter, and he made a comment about not paying the full amount for his suite. And, the Texans then charged him for it after they already let him go. And then he retweeted, "I guess I should have kept my mouth closed." I'm not saying that he should have kept his mouth closed about this whole situation with Jason Garrett, but Wade Phillips is an excellent coordinator, not so much head coach. His style lends to being more lenient and less aggressive than it is authoritative. And being a head coach, you have to be authoritative. And the way you, I'm not saying you got to curse. I'm not saying you got to kick rocks or whatever. But you got to show some fire here and there and show some disgust, show some, some happiness or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I'm not going to say it's totally his fault that he's out in Dallas because there's an owner there that likes to put his 2 cents in every which way. Much like me, an owner much like me, except my products work. You know, I let my guys do their thing, and I just sit back and try to provide options. But that one guy, Mr. Jones, I think he needed to stick with Wade. Wade needed to stay because now you have in Dallas 3 defensive coordinators, 3 offensive coordinators, and no real head coach. So what's next?
All we're missing is the big top and the Ringling Brothers Circus.
There you go. Because, look, think about it. You have 3 bona fide defensive coordinators labeled as consultants, 2 as consultants, 1 as a coordinator, 2 or 3 offensive-minded coaches in Lenihan and Callahan and Garrett, and Garrett can't even call his own plays as the head coach. It's too much going on. I think Wade was a better scapegoat than what Jerry would have liked to have, because now he can go back and say, "Yeah, I was 13-3. I was XYZ. But look at the talent you put around what I had after my 13-3 year. You know, look what you did to me, Jerry. So you want to blame me for their losses? Fine, go right ahead. But you fired me and kept Jason Garrett. So, you know, that's what it is.
Okay.
You know what I equate this to? I equate this to a certain person a very long time ago saying he was the creator and the master of this group of guys. And he led this group called the CMB. And, you know, I'm quite sure that that person is no longer doing this stuff. So he'll fade away just like Wade Phillips will fade away.
Well, speaking of that, and before we go on to that, you just piqued my curiosity. I'm going to ask Black, does he still keep in touch with that person?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Okay. Is he still doing the radio thing, or is he out of that now?
He's on the entertainment side of things now.
Okay. All right.
Tell him I'm welcoming him back on the show just to talk. Just to talk. That's all.
Tell him I said hello, because I haven't talked to him in quite a while. So
I'll relay all messages.
Okay. Anyway, the running back, one of the best running backs in the league, needs to relay a message, or vice versa, to the head coach, or the head coach needs to relay a message to the running back. Because Adrian Peterson late yesterday, tweeted, Mike Vick would intently make the Vikings a playoff team. So it looks like Adrian Peterson is interested in the team bringing in Michael Vick to Minnesota to be the team starter. And like I said, he tweeted that short tweet. It's pretty funny because on the same day, no, the following day, Mike Zimmer of the Minnesota Vikings said he would love to have Matt Castle back if Matt Castle wants to be back. Now, you guys know that Matt Castle opted out and is going to go to free agency and test the waters in free agency. But you got your star running back looking for Mike Vick to join the club to be the starter. And you got the head coach talking up Matt Castle, saying he would love to have Matt Castle back. You guys see a problem? I mean, this is a new coach coming to a new situation with one of the best running backs in the league, and he's talking one quarterback, and the head coach is talking another. Jeff, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's kind of like this is a it's almost like dating. You know, they got to play these games with the free agents and whatnot. You know, and I'm sure there's a lot of insincerity and you know what? It wasn't a free agent; it was a trade. But a few years back, Denver was just kicking the tires on Matt Castle, and then Cutler heard about that and got his panties in a wad. I mean, Cutler's a little extra sensitive, but that led to him being, they said, was one of the things that led to him being traded from Denver. Now, regarding Minnesota, I think Michael Vick, I want to be specific, I don't want people to think I'm talking about Vic Gardner, Michael Vick, both quarterbacks, Vic, you're not lefty, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I'm lefty, just like Michael Vick. Short, too, but then... Yeah, I never got in trouble, with dogs. It's messed up. But that's old news. Sorry, getting back on the subject. I think Michael Vick would probably be one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league, but I don't think he could do the job full-time for 16 games. And I heard Houston is very interested in Castle, especially because Bill O'Brien, his former coordinator in New England, is going to be running things down there, so I'm sure he's going to at least visit Houston, and there's probably a very good chance that Castle will be playing for Houston this year.
Black.
I would love to see Vic in Minnesota, but, I mean, you know, the head coach, he has authority. Peterson is the franchise, but the head coach has authority. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out down there. I wouldn't mind seeing Vic in Minnesota, though, as a fan.
All right, Victor, your namesake.
Well, I'll tell you what, it'll never happen. I mean, it's a dream thing, but it'll never happen. And I'm going to tell you why. I was going to talk about it Saturday, but since you brought it up, I'll talk about it now. Who's the offensive coordinator in Minnesota right now?
Oh, well, of course,
Norv Turner does not – he does not like the mobile quarterback. He prefers the pocket passing quarterback. He would not change his scheme to suit Michael Vick. Now, the thing is, what does Norv Turner have right now? He has a young, faster Michael Irvin and Cordarrelle Patterson. He has a beast of a running back in Adrian Peterson. He has a great tight end, and this will be my sleeper tight end for fantasy, Kyle Rudolph. I think Kyle will be in the top three of fantasy tight ends next year. And all he's lacking is a pocket-passing quarterback. Now, I'm not sure where Minnesota picks in the draft this year. I'm not sure. But don't be surprised if David Carr's little brother gets picked up by Minnesota. Don't be surprised if Garoppolo gets picked up by Minnesota. If Manziel slips to Minnesota, I don't see him going there. If Bridgewater slips there, yes. If Bortles slips there, Bortles is the perfect quarterback for a Norv Turner offense. So Mike Vick going there, it's a pipe dream. I like the idea, but it is a pipe dream as long as Norv Turner is the offensive coordinator.
In Minnesota, it's eighth in the order of the NFL draft. So there's quite a few teams ahead of them that need quarterbacks or quarterback needy. Unless Minnesota trades up to get a quarterback that they're absolutely looking for and they think that someone else ahead of them is going to take him, I doubt if Bortles is going to be there at number eight, but you never know. The NFL draft is very unpredictable, but you never know. Anyway, speaking of quarterbacks, just like Vic's boy RG3 signed a big contract endorsement with a same as Johnny Manziel, who signs with Nike. Financial terms were not disclosed, but its multi-year deal will be the highest price paid for a rookie in this year's class. Manziel's team negotiating the deal included LeBron James' business manager and Fenway and Mark Carter and Fenway Sports Group. Now, RG3 did pretty well the first year. Not too well the second year. And there's some people that are thinking Johnny Manziel may drop in his draft, especially Ron Jaworski, who's not really a big fan of Johnny Manziel. But nevertheless, he signed a deal with Nike. Is this another quarterback that is looking to move his brand instead of moving himself in the draft as a high draft pick and being able to put the work in as a NFL quarterback, or is he more interested in his brand? I'm going to go to Victor first for this one. Talk to me, Vic.
Brand, of course. Listen, Johnny Manziel is noticing that he's falling out of favor in the NFL. So as he falls down the first round, you know, the more likely it is his dollar value goes down because now it's structured. So let's say the first overall pick gets 40 mil. If he gets 40 mil, Johnny Manziel skips to 6 or 7, he's not looking at the same amount of money. So his parents, being the smart lawyers and business people that they are, yeah, of course, he's going to capitalize on all of this stuff, just like he did in college, allegedly signing all of those footballs. So this is nothing more than Johnny Manziel and his parents looking out for the Johnny Manziel brand. And I can't blame him. I can't blame him because he's going in at 200 pounds at quarterback. And, you know, yes, people like a sermon quarterback now, but he's not that accurate. And unless he has that big dog receiver, he's not going to do that well. So he might as well get paid before he looks like Joey Harrington back from the Oregon Ducks and Detroit Lion days. That's what I'm going to equate him to if he doesn't sign with a team that has a big-time wide receiver. How you doing?
Jeff.
Yeah, I wish I knew how much they signed them for. I didn't see the dollars. Maybe it's a flexible deal and there's some kind of incentives put in it. But, I mean, the thing is, these sneaker companies have a lot of power in pro sports. They really, really do. And, I mean, Nike is the number one. And it's probably, you know, there's a lot of pro and con on Manziel. If I had to pick, I just don't think he's going to be a superstar in the NFL. I mean, but, you know, the experts are torn on this guy. But the thing is, if he takes off, Nike's right there to make a buck off him. And if he doesn't, you know, they could afford to lose a few bucks. Personally, I think some of the things he did at A&M, even though it sounds petty, it shows his lack of maturity. And that, I think, might be one of his problems, not just his lack of size, but his lack of maturity, because I don't think he handled his fame well in college. I mean, he's a young man, obviously, but, you know, then you see other young men like Russell Wilson, who always seem to say and do the right things, and Manziel isn't that type of guy. I mean, he won't get in trouble for signing memorabilia or whatever as a pro, but he can get in trouble for doing other things, you know, which he showed he's capable of poor judgment.
Black.
I don't know, man. This could work out in the rookie's favor. I mean, it was the first freshman to win the Heisman. A lot of pressure on him coming back the next year. It was like a huge microscope that just opened up on him. But if Mike is throwing money behind this guy, they must know something that everybody else doesn't know. Manziel has huge hands, and he has big feet. I think he'll be able to do something. I don't know if he'll be a superstar, but he'll be serviceable somewhere.
Well, as you guys know, I'm not a big Manziel fan, and I'd be surprised. Well, I wouldn't say I'd be surprised, but I think he may be going to Cleveland or Oakland. Jacksonville or Cleveland, one or the other. I don't think he's going to get the number one pick. I highly doubt that. And if it was up to, like I said, Ron Jaworski, he wouldn't be picked until the third or fourth round. And Ron Jaworski is a former NFL quarterback, played at a high level at one point, does a lot of film work, has looked at a lot of games, Johnny Manziel, and said that by the time the draft comes up, he'll have looked at every tape, a game tape of Johnny Manziel. And he may revise it to push him up, or he may solidify what he's been talking about, that Johnny Manziel, the third, fourth round pick, My problem is this. This guy signed a contract with Nike, haven't played a down in the NFL.
Charles is also a hater. You forgot to throw that in.
What bothers me is this. These guys who sign these contracts, and you know this is for millions of dollars, before they play the down, are they looking to, like I said earlier, cash in and make the money and not put the time in to hone his position of craft? You know, when a rookie comes in and he's got a huge name, he's a former Heisman Trophy winner, and he's got a bad boy reputation, and he signs a contract like this, I have the tendency to think that there will be a lot of resentment with veterans, because now this guy's got to come in and really prove himself. Besides him being a rookie quarterback, now he's got the label of he signed this contract, so he's pushing his brand, and now he got to prove to his teammates that is he just a pretty boy, a show boy, or is he going to actually put the work in? So that's just putting more added pressure on him to perform. Now, I mean, he may come through, but you have to look at some of these quarterbacks that perform well, like a Russell Wilson, like a Colin Kaepernick. I mean, he took a couple years before he was able to start, but Russell Wilson, you don't hear any flash and dash from him. He put his head to the grind, and a nose to the grindstone, I should say, and made sure that he was able to get the respect of his teammates because he was putting the work in as a rookie. Now he's reaping the rewards because he's proven himself already. So I have a problem with players that come in like this with a lot of fanfare and hasn't proved anything. Now they put added pressure on themselves, and a lot of times they don't realize how much pressure until they get into the situation. And I think Manziel is going to feel that pressure once he steps on the field to whatever team in practice and quite naturally the first game he plays. Victor, what are your thoughts on what I just said?
I think that in order to humble Manziel or to put him in a situation where someone can actually develop him a little bit, he needs to be pretty much drafted in the third round, just like Russell Wilson was. People knock Russell Wilson for his height, not his ability, but his height. And your guy, John Gruden, said if Russell Wilson was 2 inches taller, he would have been the number one overall draft pick. Now, Manziel, he's got the flash and dash, and he can bring people and fill seats. But the problem is, you know, will people resent him? I don't know. I mean, Mike Vick came in. He didn't have the big contract, nothing like that, but he had a lot of flash and dash to him. He signed his Nike contract with the mirrors on the bottom of his shoes and all that other stuff. But because his kid comes from a wealthy family, he beat the system, NCAA. He left early, projected to be a top draft pick. There might be some resentment there. But if he just comes in, keeps his mouth quiet, and earns the respect of the locker room, then we'll see. But I can guarantee you this, he's going to have a lot of dinners to pay for, whether it's the offensive line or somebody. He's paying for a lot as a rookie. That's what I think.
Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, It's a very, very interesting situation. Just, I mean, the whole what's going on with Manziel is his background, being from a well-off family, winning the Heisman as a freshman, whatever. If you saw this as a movie a few years ago, you'd say, what a crock, you know? He's a, whether you like him or not, he's a very unique story, a very unique person. Like I said, I'm not quite feeling him as an NFL star for a couple reasons, but, you know, he's almost like a, he's got a lot more throwing ability. He's similar to Tim Tebow because he's going to bring that media circus. You know, I mean, he's obviously a more accurate passer. But believe me, even if this guy, if he plays lousy and he gets benched, people are going to be clamoring about him. Everybody's going to want to know what's going on with him, you know, because of the Heisman and everything else. If he's not going to be the guy, you don't want that kind of distraction. Who wants a media circus around your backup quarterback?
Black.
Nah, y'all killing my boys in the SEC, man. I think he's going to come in. I think he's going to put that work in, man. I'm telling you, man, they're going to surprise. He's going to surprise. He might not turn you right now. He might not turn you during the season, but he's going to put that work in, man. It's from a good background. He's going to put that work in.
Okay. Well, like I said, come May 8th, we'll see where he goes.
He knows. He knows all eyes are on him right now, so he has no choice but to put the work in.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Let's see when his pro day is. His pro day is.
His pro day was a couple of years ago.
Oh boy!
Too easy.
Did he throw in the combine?
No, he did not throw in the combine. His pro day was a couple of days ago. Today's the 6th. I think it was either yesterday or the day before. I don't have the results of that pro day, but we'll see what happens when the draft comes and finds out what team he goes to. Then you get an idea of how strong his quarterback coach and his offensive coordinator is going to be in getting him to make to get the most out of him. Anyway, let's move on to this. Now, I've been talking about this for quite a while, and now we got another report that is very interesting, extremely interesting. Came about a half hour before we went on the show. It's about the former NFL.com NFL Network analyst and accused rapist, Darren Sharper. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. I just got this off of ESPN about a half hour, 45 minutes ago. Darren Sharper told witnesses that the sex he had and a friend had with two women in New Orleans in September was not consensual.
Oh, boy.
According to a report by a New Orleans police detective obtained by USA Today. Like you guys know, he was currently jailed in L.A., surrendering last week to police after a warrant was issued in connection with the alleged rapes in New Orleans. And acquaintance of Sharper, Derek Nunez, is also facing two charges of aggravated rape in the incident. Which police in Louisiana say occurred at an apartment on September 23rd, 2013. Nunez was booked on two counts of rape Friday morning in New Orleans. Sharper has also been charged with 7 felonies in L.A. related to cases in which he's accused of drugging and raping two women he met at nightclubs. and quite naturally, like everyone, otherwise this wouldn't be a story. It would be about his charges. It would be a story about him getting sentenced. He pleaded not guilty to those charges. He's also under investigation in sexual assault cases in Florida, Nevada, and Arizona. If this report is true, both he and Nunez in Louisiana, if they're convicted of an aggravated rape, would face life imprisonment.
Oh, wow.
If convicted in California, would face more than 30 years in state prison. That's not even going with Florida and Nevada and Arizona. If they happen to bring arrest warrants out. We talked about this a few times, but this is a new development about saying that New Orleans police has got witnesses that he said he did this without the consent of the two women. I'm going to Jeff first, and then we'll go from there. Jeff.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about this. I mean, other than the obvious, I mean, this is very disturbing. I mean, he's innocent until proven guilty, and he's currently locked up in California. I guess he couldn't get bail. I don't know, but I think he is currently in custody in California. This is a lot of serious charges. This isn't just one case. This is, you know, five states. This is a guy, I think, who had a chance for the Hall of Fame, maybe. I mean, he was a great player, and but that doesn't matter. I mean, you don't do that stuff. I mean, that's messed up. I mean, it's just one of those things. I hope, you know, if he's innocent, I hope he goes free, and if he's guilty, then he's going to do a lot of time.
Black.
Man, this is not looking good at all. Man, and they're going around telling people this too. I don't know what's going on in his head. It should be quiet. Consult with your lawyers and just have your day in court. But this is definitely not looking good. This might turn out to be a serial rapist case.
It's got all the makings, Victor.
Absolutely right. It's like a serial rapist. Now, Darren Sharp at one point made a comment on NFL Network. He was joking with somebody and said, "I would not be good in prison. I'm too pretty." Well, homeboy, looks like you might be in that situation because this – and again, Jerry, we talked about this before. Dude is a former NFL star, not player.
Yep.
Star.
Yep.
I'm saying this, you know, because I'm insecure. The guy is a handsome guy. Why the hell did he need to do this?
Yeah.
If again, it's alleged, if he did it. Because, you know, does his breath stink? Is he, like, got bad game or something? Because for me, I'm like, you know, if I'm on TV, if I'm a former player, and I've got a bunch of great stuff going on, why the hell would I need to use a date rape drug? And even if his boy was the one that did it, he has no something about it, especially with all these tipsy women, you know, that's going out with him or mm-hmm. leaving the places with him. Of course, they don't seem like they're coherent. So I feel bad for him, but at the same time, if he is guilty, he deserves every shower in the pen that he gets.
Hey, that man has been listening to too much Rick Ross.
Yeah.
Much what?
Rick Ross.
Oh.
You know, let's move on to something that's a little, well, staying in the NFL, and this just is another team looking to make more money. The Buffalo Bills adopt a variable ticket pricing. So add that the Bills to the list of teams that will adjust ticket prices based on the quality of the games or lack thereof. The team announced that variable pricing will be adopted this year at Ralph Wilson Stadium. Specifically, the pricing will be tiered for preseason and regular season games. The specific numbers will be unveiled after the 2014 schedule is released, and I think that usually is released in April, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it's going to be released sometime in March. I think it's released not too long after the NFL season kicks off, which the NFL season kicks off the 11th, March 11th. So I think not too long after that, the actual 2014 schedule is released. The slate of regular season games already is known. Quite naturally, the Bills play the Dolphins, the Jets, the Patriots, because they're in the division. They also play the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Packers, Vikings, and Brown. It's not clear yet whether the pricing will be influenced by placement of games on the calendar or, the weather in Buffalo can be a little frightful, a little shaky, especially in November, December. There's just another team. Apparently, they didn't adjust their ticket prices depending on the opponent and what time of year it was. And now they're going to do that. Your thoughts on this block? Is this team falling for doing the same thing as quite a few other teams are doing now?
You said what now?
They're doing a tiered system, the variable pricing system. So depending on who they're playing and when they're playing them, they're going to change their adjusted ticket pricing.
Oh, man, that must be a rough economy out here. Just leave ticket prices the same, pay who you want to pay to see, get your season ticket paid. Don't get duped by these teams, man. You know your team's garbage, don't pay the money. You got the nice flat screen at home, stay there and watch the game.
I hear you, bro. Jeffrey.
You know, I was a little surprised to hear that. Now, this type of flexible pricing for tickets has become fairly common in baseball and basketball. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make as much sense for football. I'm curious the specifics because I've been saying for years they should charge half price for the exhibition, and even that is too much because you're not seeing a real game. You're not seeing the real players. I mean, it's bad enough if you have season tickets, you're obligated to get the preseason. They shouldn't be full price. That's a scam. And with football, they don't sell a lot of individual game tickets. That's why I'm surprised they would go through the trouble. But the thing is, the Mets started with that a few years ago. So, you know, they could jack up the price a little for the Yankees because they know that's always a sellout when they play. And, then, you know, there's some other teams, too. Yankees are the first that come to mind. But then when they're playing the weaker teams, you know, they could say, well, we'll give a break to the fans. It's a few bucks less if, you know, you're going to see some of the less popular teams. And usually with football's mostly season ticket holders, and it's individuals, not corporations. I mean, there's some corporations, but, you know, well, if you're lucky, you know, you could afford a season ticket or two if you're an individual. So, also, I noticed Buffalo, they're not going to be playing a game in Toronto this year because they've been doing one game a year in Toronto. I guess they're giving up on that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're just, I wouldn't say greedy because Buffalo's like one of those teams that...
I think they were 1-5. They were 1-5 on those trips anyways. I give up on that, too.
Well, the Bills struggled last year to sell out Ralph Wilson. On a few occasions, the team had to buy unsold non-premium tickets at 34 cents on a dollar to allow the games to be televised. And that's not the only team that had to do that. Jacksonville's another team that had to do that. I can't recall what other teams besides those teams had to do it, but I'm pretty sure there's at least more than one team other than those two that had to buy back their tickets in order for it to be sold out so it would be on TV locally. All right, let me go to this because I just saw this, and I think this is extremely interesting, extremely. And on the eve of the 2013 Super Bowl, Harvard Medical School and the NFL Players Association announced one of the most ambitious sports research projects in history, a $100 million grant from the union to improve the health and well-being of NFL players. But the NFLPA never intended to give $100 million to Harvard. This is an article from ESPN. Outside the lines have learned, the announcement was a public relations gambit by the union to pressure the NFL into putting up half the money for a study that would address fundamental questions about player health, including the long-term impact of concussions. And quite naturally, the ploy backfired, touching off a behind-the-scenes power struggle between the NFL and the NFLPA over tens of millions of research dollars, and leaving Harvard officials struggling to explain how an initiative that involves 10 schools, 16 medical centers, dozens of researchers, and 1,000 retired NFL players will be funded. A spokesman from the NFLPA quotes, the landscape has changed slightly. The NFL officials now say Harvard mischaracterized the initiative as a grant because any future money is predicated on performance and availability, and the project isn't necessarily worth $100 million, the official concedes. Harvard might receive far less because of the NFL's refusal to participate and because the union could pull out of the deal at any point, although the NFLPA says it will continue to fund the project as long as the research is productive. Now, this is supposed to, it's a pretty lengthy article. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but it seems like this was supposed to be something that's going to study or do research on concussions and I guess other head-related issues. And the PA apparently said they would put up this money to get this done and with hopes of the NFL contributing to it. This sounds like it's going to be one big cluster. You know what? I'm going to black in your thoughts because this seems like it's not going to come to fruition or is not going to do exactly what it should do. What do you think, Black?
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you.
All right, Victor. Victor.
Well,
Victor.
You got to come back.
Okay.
Give me like 2 seconds.
Say what?
I was in the middle of something. I needed you to come back, but I'm done now. So anyway.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. Listen,
put the lotion away. Put the lotion away.
Oh, really? We got really, really. We're not a PG show, but we ain't that much. No. No. I mean, if the NFLPA is gonna pull this crap, and then the NFL is gonna, you know, support it towards the end, you know, it just goes to show you the politics in sports. You know, the politics in sports, man. I mean, you leverage any and everything that you can to get what you want. And it's sad that this is the situation in this case, but, you know, I think both sides should be held accountable for their agreement. I don't think Harvard needs any more daggone money, but, you know, somebody should be held accountable for their part in this. That's just my thoughts on it.
Jeff,
you know, Vic said the word. It's politics, and you know, everybody like to see this, you know, get taken care of, but they've waited too long. I mean, they're finally addressing it, and nothing's easy. You know, when you're dealing with a big business, nothing's easy, you know?
Well, you know, these guys, they didn't come to this exact dollar amount of $100 million, but they did make a joint pledge of $11 million annual contribution to medical research for the duration of 10-year deal. So that would be over $100 million, 110 to be exact. But from the beginning, the two sides were split on how the money should be spent. So like Black says, it's politics, politics, and politics. You know, and let me put it this way. I think it was pandering to the people that wanted to hear that something was going to be addressed and to quell the rising storm that was happening with former players and their health issues. They got away cheap, in my opinion, by buying with a $750 million, a little bit more than $750 million. That sounds like a lot of money, but they got off cheap with that, and now it seems like they want to not do what they had pledged to do, or are resistant to do, or play politics on how it should be done, to just delay the distribution of the money for the research. You know, for a nonprofit agency as the NFL and all the billions of dollars that the NFL is bringing in and all the money the owners are making and Roger Goodell getting $44 million, if I'm not mistaken, and they can't do what's right with the former players that have a lot of health issues and try to do some research to find out better ways to protect these guys that are presently in the league right now. They should be ashamed of themselves, let me put it that way. I mean, it's the old adage, is running money is the root of all evil. And it's pretty evil to play with human lives and make a lot of money, which people do all the time. But they smile. In my opinion, the NFL smiles in your face and walks on the back of former and present players to make a buck. And I don't think it's right. Anybody want to jump in on this or no?
Yeah, I got one thing to say to that, Jerry. I got one thing I want everybody to hear about this.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
That's it.
With that being said, we got a minute and a half. I'm going to go around the horn before we get out of here and try to enjoy the rest of this night. I'm going to go to Jeff first, and then Victor, then Black, and then I'll close it out. Jeff.
Well, to address what Jerry just said, you know, there's a reason the NFL owners are very, very wealthy. It wasn't by being generous and kind and whatever. I mean, yeah, these guys do a little charity for show. Yeah, only if they get a write-off for it and get something named after them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This is their true colors. I mean, that guy in Minnesota, I'm not particularly fond of, Ziggy Wolf. I mean, he's getting tracked through the court system for screwing his partner and a bunch of other people. And, you know, this is how these guys get down. And this is how they make money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to change all of a sudden, you know? This is how the rich guys do their thing, you know? That's that. So it's been real. Tune in next week.
Okay, Victor?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, just like on Turner Classic Movies HD right now, is for a few dollars more. Pennies worth, 1965. It fits perfectly in the topics that we're talking about today. For a few dollars more, what people won't do.
For the love of money, you would like to go mother.
Oh,
that's not what it sounds. Whatever. Jerry probably played Sunday, maybe. But the point is this, ladies and gentlemen. We as humans feel a need to own and do things to people because we have money or power or position. In the case of the NFL, Michael Vick will be 34 years old. People say that he can't play quarterback. I don't think he'll go to Minnesota, so that's off the books for me, but he'll be productive somewhere else. We look at Johnny Manziel signing with Nike to make some money. I say it's because, yes, he wants to capitalize on his current stardom, because once he hits that league, he's going to be a totally different person without the tools around him like he had at A&M, meaning Mike Evans. Also, NFL, shame on you. Shame on you. For a few more dollars, huh? Also, we have eight people. We have eight people in our fantasy baseball league right now. We need two more. The draft is next Saturday, March 15th. I need two more to make this a money league. Jerry, make sure you give them your email address so they can jump on and we can send some invites. But ladies and gentlemen, March Madness is coming. March Madness is coming, and I need you to go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, where winners win and players play, to register today. Place your wagers, get the extra sign-up bonuses, do all the wonderful things you can do to make some money. I'm going to. With that, I relinquish my time to the gentleman in D.C.
Black. Oh, my. Shouts out to Theodore Roosevelt High School right now. They're playing for the state championship. I don't know when D.C. turned into a state. I have no idea, but apparently, we are safe somehow, some way, and my high school is playing for that right now at this second, so hopefully they'll come out on top. Tomorrow, Friday, if you're in the DMV, come on out, Rosecroft Raceway, about, I believe, 7 p.m., things go down. Our good friend, our good guest, Mike Reeves, the main event out of Rosecroft Raceway tomorrow. If you're not in the DMV, head on over to ESPN Friday Night Fight. It's a DMV takeover. Our good friend, Dusty Hernandez Harrison. He'll be featured on Friday Night Fight on ESPN tomorrow. So good luck to all my homies.
And if you don't do either one of those, tune in tomorrow to No Chaser, where we will have a guest, Corey Allman. He was supposed to show up last week, but he showed up late, and he promised to come back and do a full show with us this week. So it's a return engagement. With Corey Allman, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the No Chaser show.
The D.C. sniper joins No Chaser tomorrow.
Yes.
Not the one shooting people from their car, but the basketball.
And also, and I'm surprised Victor didn't announce this, but I will do, on FSP show, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the two guests we were supposed to have, Daryl Too Sweet Cooley and Corey T-Rex Saunders, has promised to show up and be guests on the show on that time frame from 1 to 2:30. Tune in. It should be extremely interesting from what I've been told by Black, that these guys are something to be heard. So... tune in 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the FSP show hosted by Victor and also co-hosted by myself. And 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday, as always, the master plan. I promised last week, and I got carried away, and I talked in length of a lot of things other than fantasy baseball. I promise you. I absolutely promise you, this Sunday I'm talking about fantasy baseball, even though it looks like I may not be playing fantasy baseball.
You will play.
I'm going to be talking about fantasy baseball because I think Victor is punking out, but It is what it is. It is what it is. And we shall see what we shall see. With that being said, like I said, I'd like to thank you guys for joining me tonight. It's been a great show, as always. And with that, Victor, what is it we say at this time?
Ladies and gentlemen, for JTHM Money and for Black, Mike Wright, the bookie, and
serious
Jeff the Joker, you've been listening to...
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore, Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on.